Chapter 10. We're supposed to be saving the world from evil aliens, and instead we're going to die in a plane crash, Daniela moans, her face pressed to the nearest window. So messed up. We are not going to die, Lexa snaps from the cockpit. I can land this thing without power. It just won't be pleasant. Unpleasant seems like it might be an understatement. A glance out the window shows me that we are still awfully high up, the tops of trees, pointy green spears down below. Lexa has us gliding in lazy circles, trying to slow our descent as much as possible. Without power, the ship rocks back and forth with every gust of wind, and I can feel Lexa jerk the controls every time that happens, to keep the ship's nose from going down. So far, she's been able to keep us relatively steady. Once we hit those trees, though, we're going to be bounced about like crazy. Sam stands in the middle of the aisle. He looks panicked. I can't blame him, since this abrupt descent is pretty much his fault. This ship is fucking cursed, I mutter to myself. Turn on! Sam yells for like the 20th time. Ship! I command you to turn back on! It's not working. Systems are still off and I'm totally locked out, Lexa calls back from the cockpit. Maybe try asking nicer. Sam clears his throat, and his voice goes up an octave, like he's talking to a baby.
Ship, please turn back on.
Nothing happens. God damn it, turn on! I grab Sam by the shoulders and make him look at me. You're just yelling right now, you get that, right? You need to focus. Stop freaking out and use your legacy.
I don't know how, Six. Yelling is seriously all that's worked for me so far.
You did it before with the game player. Just, I don't know, visualize?
I'm going to get us all killed, Sam groans.
I have seen very few futures where that occurs, Sam, Ella interjects. She's still calmly seated in her chair.
Sam stares at her. See? Very few, I say to Sam. Sam swallows hard. Not helpful. The ship suddenly lurches to the right. Lexa curses and bangs against the steering column, trying to correct course. We definitely just picked up some downward velocity. Six, maybe you could help me out with the wind situation? Lexa calls over her shoulder. Good idea, I reply.
I start to step away from Sam. His eyes widen immediately like I'm abandoning him. I grab his shoulders and squeeze.
Relax. You can fix this. I'm just going to slow us down a bit so you have more time.
I go to the nearest window and concentrate on the weather outside. It's a clear blue sky out there. I focus on the wind. It's blowing hard at this altitude, but not so strong that I can't control it. Instead of buffeting against the side of our ship, I command the wind to change directions, pushing it across the ship's underbelly, cushioning us. Combined with Lexa's careful navigation, soon we're circling gently, like a leaf caught up on a breeze. I've slowed us down. This ship still probably weighs half a ton. I won't be able to keep us gliding around forever, not without some help from the engines. It's only a matter of time. I'm sure Sam knows this. He keeps at it, trying different tones of voice, commanding the engines to start back up. The ship's not listening, though. In my peripheral vision, I notice Ella gets out of her seat. Little flecks of blue energy spit from the corners of her eyes. She holds Bandit under one arm. The raccoon was losing his mind as we started to crash. As soon as Ella picked him up, he calmed right down. I don't know what he's so worried about anyway. Unlike the rest of us, he can sprout wings. Ella studies Sam for a moment. She nods once, like she's come to a conclusion.
Before, you said you pictured the inner workings of the video game player, and that helped, right?
she asks. I said they popped into my head eventually, Sam replies. He runs both of his hands across his scalp. I don't know how it happened.
Okay, Ella replies. Give me a second.
Sam blinks at her, trying to work some moisture into his mouth. He watches as Ella strolls casually towards the cockpit. I half turn to watch, too, still giving most of my attention to padding the wind. This thing's gotta have parachutes, right? Daniela asks me. Don't worry, I reply, watching Ella. I think we've got this. Daniela looks at me like I'm crazy. She's not used to this whole close calls thing.
You know how this ship works, right? Ella asks Lexa, standing right at the pilot's elbow. You could, say, picture the engine?
What? Yeah, I guess, Lexa answers, although she's more focused on navigating us towards a patch of flatland newly visible on the horizon. It won't be enough space to land us clean, but at least we won't be getting thrown between trees.
Could you do it right now? Ella asks patiently. Just visualize the engine, or the power system, or, I don't know, whatever you think Sam screwed up.
I'm kind of busy with... Lexa responds sharply, then thinks better of it. She makes sure the controls are pointed in the right direction before leaning back for a second and closing her eyes. Okay, I'm picture... Lexa breaks off suddenly with a shudder, like a chill just went up her spine.
Thanks, got it, Ella says.
Lexa reopens her eyes. She squeezes the bridge of her nose for a moment before wordlessly refocusing on her controls. That was weird, she mutters.
Sam, I'm going to send this image over to you, Ella says, peering back at Sam from the cockpit.
Send it to me how? He replies, though the answer should be obvious. Telepathically. Sam's head jerks back and his eyebrows shoot up. Oh, there it is.
Try your legacy now, Ella suggests. She leans against the cockpit entrance and gently strokes Bandit's fur.
She's so confident, I let my grip on the supporting wind slip a little. Our ship dips suddenly to the left. Daniela's the only one who notices. She lets out a quiet moan of despair. Everyone else is focused on Sam. His eyes are glazed over, and he stares into the distance, like there's something floating out there that only he can see. His lips move wordlessly, rapidly, as if he's whispering a quick count to 1,000. Ship, turn on and stabilize. Return control to pilot, he says confidently. Immediately, there's a whir of activity under our feet. The ship's engines turn back on, and there's a satisfying chorus of buzzes and beeps from the cockpit. We level off and begin to gain altitude. All good, Lexa yells. Crisis averted. I lunge away from the window and squeeze Sam. You did it! Sam smiles dazedly at me, like he's not sure what he even did. I did it, he repeats. You didn't kill us! Hooray! Daniela adds sarcastically. I felt like I was supercharged or something, Sam says, his gaze drifting towards Ella. Like I was connected to the machine. I could make out all its workings. Ella shrugs. I only plucked out what was in Lexa's mind and gave it to you. That's all. So it seems like you have to understand the machine before you can control it, I say, thinking out loud. But with the Game Boy, I just sat with it, thought about it, and eventually the wiring came to me, Sam counters. And shutting down the ship, that was a total accident, like an overreach. You also talked funny this last time, Daniela says. Like a robot.
Did I?
Sam asks and raises an eyebrow at me. You did, I reply. Seems like we've still got some work to do figuring out this legacy.
Man, I need a sapon, Sam says, rubbing the back of his neck.
Lexa clears her throat.
Look alive, everybody. We're closing in on Niagara Falls, and I've already got visual on three skimmers.
Everyone in the back immediately falls silent and gets serious. The thundering majesty of Niagara Falls becomes visible down below as Lexa makes a quick pass overhead. Unsurprisingly, the falls are completely devoid of tourists. With the world at war, no one has time for sightseeing. I make out a shimmer of cobalt blue on the grassy mountainside adjacent to the falls. That's the newly grown Lorelite stone, the one our new guard teleported in with. And parked around it, the three skimmers that Lexa spotted.
You see 'em? Lexa asks.
Yeah, I reply. Not seeing any movement, though.
Hold on, let me enhance the image.
I hear Lexa tap out a few commands on her console. A moment later, the view from the window blurs and then expands. Now we're zoomed in on the Lorelite stone and the ship surrounding it. The camera, which must be mounted on the underside of our ship, effortlessly tracks the stone as we glide through the air above.
Whoa, Daniela says. Cool.
Now I can make out more details of the three skimmers. Only one of them actually looks intact, with its ramp extended and the cockpit doors open. The second skimmer has a ribbon of black smoke curling away from its engine, like something recently exploded there. And the third skimmer is overturned on its side, half in the rushing river that leads to the falls. The ship shudders even now. Any minute, the current will take it over the edge. It looks like the Mogadorians got more than they bargained for. Even so, I don't see any signs of life below. That makes me nervous.
How do you want to play it? Lexa asks.
I think her question over for a second. Bring us down in the open. Our approach wasn't exactly subtle. Anyone with eyes probably spotted us already.
You'd think the Moogs would be shooting at us by now, Sam says, frowning at the scene on screen as Lexa brings us around for a landing.
Could be an ambush, I say.
Or they could have had more ships. Maybe we're too late.
They could have already nabbed these kids and jetted back to their warship, Daniela suggests grimly.
Let's hope not, I reply.
Lexa sets us down as close to the Lorelite stone as possible, near the undamaged skimmer. Now that we're on the ground, she returns the windows to normal. Ella stares out at the glowing stone, seemingly mesmerized.
We need to help the government secure the rest of these places, she says after a moment. If the Moogs find them first, the new guard could end up teleporting right into their hands.
Could you make contact with them again? I ask. If they're coming to fight, maybe we could tell them all to teleport here.
Ella shakes her head. My range isn't that strong anymore, she says.
We could post it on YouTube, Sam says dryly.
No YouTube, ever, I reply. We'll just have to trust Lawson and his people will do right by them.
Glad I'm with you guys and not detained, Daniela says.
Lexa puts us on an angle so that our exit ramp will open towards the falls. That means no threats will be able to come from behind us, and we'll be able to use the ship for cover if this is an ambush. Any Moogs looking to attack us will be coming from the small patch of evergreen forest to the north. That little forest is half flooded by the river as it rages its way towards the falls, so we should have an advantage if we keep to the solid ground.
Ready?
Lexa asks. I nod, and she deploys the ramp. No one starts shooting. I'm not sure I'd hear blaster fire over the cacophony of the waterfall anyway.
Adam should be on the comm, I say to Lexa. Call in. Tell him we've arrived and see if he's picked up any Moog chatter.
Otherwise, keep the ship ready to haul ass in case we need to leave in a hurry.
You got it, Lexa replies.
I extend my arm, and Regal immediately lands on my forearm, his talons careful not to clutch too tightly.
Scout it out, I tell the Chimera, and he swoops away, through the exit and into the blue sky.
I start towards the ramp after him, motioning to Daniela.
Come on, get up front with me. Anything that seems hostile, go ahead and turn it to stone.
Daniela smirks, but I can tell that she's nervous.
Let's do this.
With Daniela and me leading the way, we edge our way down the ramp. I glance to the side quickly, sensing motion, but it's just Sam picking up a jagged rock from the river with his telekinesis. He shrugs at me.
In case I need to clobber someone, he says quietly.
Daniela's gaze darts about as we make our way around the front of our ship and approach the burned-up skimmer. Bandit trundles alongside us as we move slowly north. The raccoon has gotten bigger since we landed, puffed up, his claws now a vicious length. He scratches at the dirt, ready to charge at the first sight of danger. His claws kick up a chalky gray substance that I immediately recognize. Mogadorian ash. Pretty fresh, considering it hasn't all been blown away yet. And there, next to the ash, the left-behind weapons of some killed Vatborn. There was definitely a fight here, and the Moogs took casualties.
The newbies did some damage, I say.
No kidding, Sam replies, eyeing the smoking skimmer. On closer examination, it looks like a grenade went off right in the ship's cockpit.
Something exploded, that's for sure. I'm just not sure what.
I glance behind us and see Ella drifting away from our tight little group. She's headed towards the Lorelite stone, which would put her right out in the open.
Ella, I hiss, stay close.
She waves at me without looking away from the stone.
I'll be fine, Six.
Sam and I exchange a look.
I guess you get pretty daring when you can see the future, Sam says.
Or when you've already died once, I reply. Trusting that Ella can take care of herself, I lead the others cautiously towards the woods. We pass by the skimmer that landed safely, then edge closer to the river and the skimmer that's been flipped into the depths. Daniela puts a hand on my arm.
You hear that?
At first, I don't hear anything except the water. But then I make out a droning buzz, high-pitched and incessant. I squint at the skimmer in the river. It looks blurry. Strange, somehow.
Bugs.
Even half-submerged in water, the Mogadorian ship is covered by a swarm of bugs. There have to be thousands of them. Bees and gnats and flies and who knows what else, darting in and out of the engine vents, crawling over the armored hull. They only break away when the river water laps at them.
The beekeeper at work, Sam says.
Has to be, I agree, then motion us forward. I'm feeling a lot more confident about this mission. In fact, it doesn't seem to be a rescue at all. From above, ringing out over the pounding waves and the buzzing bugs, comes a piercing shriek. A falcon's cry, Regal sending up a warning.
The hell is that? Daniela yelps, pointing into the sky.
From the tree line, a glowing object was just lobbed directly towards us. It floats through the air on an impossible arc. There's telekinesis guiding it for sure. If I had to guess, I'd say someone just tossed a pine cone at us. Except I've never seen one pulsing red waves of crimson energy like this one. A vision of the blown-up skimmer we just walked by suddenly comes to mind.
Shoot that, I say to Daniela.
I didn't have to bother. She's already on it. A silver-tinged current of energy bursts forth from Daniela's eyes. The force of it actually looks painful, and Daniela gasps when it happens. Her aim is true, though, and the glowing pine cone is soon just a hunk of stone flying through the sky. Not wanting to take any chances, I swat the rock down with my telekinesis. It lands about 20 yards in front of us and immediately explodes, the red energy from the charged pine cone shredding Daniela's stone carapace. We get hit with a few pebbles, but it's otherwise harmless. I'm not sure what the blast would have been like if Daniela hadn't muffled it. "There!" Sam yells, pointing at the edge of the woods. I see her, too. The frail-looking Japanese girl from the video. She stands where the trees thin out, close to the river, shin-deep in water. She must have been hiding before and popped out of cover as we approached. There's a cut above her eyebrow, and blood trickles down the side of her face. She's scuffed up, and on her arms I can see the telltale burns from Mogadorian blasters. She stares at us, uncertain. Then she quickly bends down and grabs a handful of rocks from the river. In her hands, these all start to glow. "Don't do that!" I shout as the girl jerks her arms back like she's going to throw. "Easy, Ren, easy!" shouts a second voice. It's the punk-looking British kid who filmed the video that brought us here. Nigel, I think his name was. He darts out of the trees, splashes through the shallow water, and grabs Ran around the waist. Ran breaks from her attack trance when Nigel grabs her and lifts her up. The stones slip free from her hands and splash into the water. A few heartbeats later, a half-dozen geysers of water explode upwards where the stones detonated. "She makes grenades," Sam says. "That should be useful." "That's badass. Why couldn't I get that one?" Daniela complains, rubbing her head. Holding Ran with one arm now, Nigel waves at us. The other two, Bertrand and Fleur, cautiously emerge from the trees. They both hold Mogadorian blasters. I get a weird feeling of nostalgia looking at this ragtag group. Is this what we used to look like after surviving those early skirmishes? "Good afternoon, alien allies!" Nigel yells cheerily, advancing towards us ahead of the others. "Bloody took you long enough!"